Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We're ready for July the 1st, 2010. July the 1st, 2010. Listen, we're going to get into the sixth seal tonight. Want to welcome everybody listening. Listen, we're blessed to know that there are just literally thousands upon thousands, and even lately, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new listeners. Well, they have come. They have come to download, this month, June, almost 100,000 downloads of the messages and so forth. So we're grateful. We're glad. We're glad that you're here. And I want to say just quickly, too, thank you for the support, the prayers that are coming in. We are in a series dealing with the seven trumpets, the angels and the seven trumpets, which are all about declaring the coming judgments that are not only going to come on to the Luciferic globalistic government, political, military, the system, the New World Order. See, the New World Order is already doomed. I mean, God has already spoken about it. And the Antichrist is already doomed. He's the man doomed to destruction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's the one doomed to destruction. And all of all of the political and military and, the nations and the peoples that join, it all ends up Revelation 19:19 in a very, very, horrific, losing battle for those committed to the dark side. We're going to deal with the sixth seal in this session. There is so much in Revelation 8, 9, 10, the chapters, that we're not going to be able to go over every single detail. I think that down the road, I'm really praying about going over verse by verse by verse the entire book of Revelation. The last time I did that, though, it took about 2 years. So I'm not sure when we will do that again. But right now, it is very pertinent to know that as chaos is coming, the red horse is going to be unleashed. That's going to set off the coming of the black horse, the coming of the pale. We're dealing with, all of those things that will be happening that involve the very, very end of days. You and I are in the mix of it. Back to Revelation chapter 8, after we're dealing with the fourth angel, guess what occurs? Verse 13, John, again, in the heavens seeing this, he says, I watched. I heard an eagle that was flying in mid-air call out in a loud voice. Now listen, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts about to be sounded by the other three angels. You would think that the first four angels that with their trumpet blasts announcing the specific revelation of God, detailing judgment on the Luciferic globalist, agenda and their cause, the beast kingdom, as some call it. Well, here we have now a kind of pause. If the first, second, third angel and the incredible strikes that have occurred, if they were not bad enough on the New World Order, the Luciferic globalists, well, then this is a precursor to the other three angels and what their trumpet blasts. Again, out of the heavens, right there by the throne, angels, trumpets, they're going to sound and they're going to be like a blast that bring the declaration, bring the announcement, and unveil the revelation that brings the greatest level of destruction to humanity in all of human history. By the time that we are done with the sixth seal, we are dealing now with a third of mankind being destroyed. We've already had a fourth. We've already had persecution on the body of believers. By the end of the sixth trumpet, we will have well over one half of the human race annihilated. And in terms of today, we're talking 3 billion, 3.5 billion. I wonder if those who have put up the Georgia Guidestones wanting a reduction have any concept. Is the Georgia Guidestones kind of the satanic buffer zone in reference to cleansing and the loss of life? Will New Agers and Luciferians and globalists and the New World Order elite just taking it hard that billions will die? Now, again, beyond Webbot, way beyond Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, the remote viewers, comes God's specific, irrevocable, listen, this is the specifics of what will occur. By this time, most would think we're already into the 3.5 or fourth year somewhere into the Hey Thalipsis, Hey Magali, the great, the tribulation. We are seeing that once the Antichrist, once there is the edict, once there is the attempt to go after the people of God and annihilate them. Well, this is, you know, it reminds me literally of Pharaoh as he comes out of his castle. If he would have just stayed in his castle, but he didn't. He brought his occult-oriented, massive, massive military might, and we find out in the Old Testament that God brings them down. And so it is with the Antichrist in the system of globalism, the idea of their cleansing the earth of people that will not give in to that new spiritual, well, Luciferic cause. You ever check out the Luciferic invocation? It almost seems that it's talking about God. It has no reference to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is really a prayer, a convergence prayer, a summoning prayer, a invocation for the Luciferic presence. And you can check it out on the web. It's been done at the United Nations and many other places and much more than that. Now God has declared, and I say this in a providential way, who knows, maybe some of the kings of the earth, you political leaders and military leaders, if you'd listen to the words of God now, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants, earth dwellers, in the book of Revelation. Notice specifically from this time on, it's almost always clearly a reference to those who serve the Antichrist. Those who are part of this spiritually inspired Luciferic globalism. And so the announcement is, well, the words woe, woe, woe in the Greek literally have the idea of dread. This is an announcement of massive dread telling us that horrific, unprecedented events. But again, as I've said, the seven trumpets from the seven angels out of the heavens, based on the prayers of the saints too, again and again, are unleashing specific targeted judgment that bring destruction to the Luciferic globalist empire. There is direct battle and strikes even before Armageddon, where it ends and annihilates the Antichrist, false prophet, and the goal of a supernaturally induced super military and political system. Globalism is burned to the ground, Revelation 19:20. And so we say in advance, using prophetic revelation, it's infallible, it is accurate, it is specific, it is beyond any kind of research, futurology, it is, well, exactly what will occur as the days approach. And I believe we're very close, because with the rise of the spirit of Antichrist, with the birth of the Antichrist and his coming apocalypse, with the conquest of the spiritual spirit of Antichrist and that kingdom rising, coming, that is first. Behind all of globalism, behind all the elitists, behind all of the satanic ritual abuse, behind all of the supernaturally induced concepts for military, behind all of that is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now supernaturally operative in those who oppose God. They are without God. When we come to Revelation chapter 9, the fifth angel sounds his trumpet. And I know that on Wednesday night, June the 30th, 2010, we were only able to give about a half hour in the context of that 1 hour live program concerning the abyss. And I want to say to you again that as you look at this, it is a major, major revelation. It is specific. We talked about this the other day, that it's out there already. It's populated massively by the most horrific of demonic presence. It is, I don't believe that it will be able to be located prior to the opening. I think the dark side knows, clearly God knows. But on a human scale, can the military, can remote viewers, can prayer mappers? Nothing in Scripture shows us that anybody finds the actual location, nor is able to penetrate. We do know that the demons literally fear to be sent into the abyss. We also know that in the future, it has not yet occurred, the abyss, abusos, will be opened because, well, as we've read and said yesterday, that a star that, and again, perfect tense in the Greek, it had already fallen and is already there. It corresponds clearly with Isaiah 14, how thou art fallen, O Lucifer. And so this picture out of the sky to the earth is a star that had fallen, had already, and is present. The star was given, and in passive here in the Greek is the idea that it has received. And the idea of key, authority, we've gone over this. And I want you to know that there are 7 hours of detailed information about the abyss. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. There you're going to see a to the right as you look over, it just simply says the abyss. Click on that tab and a web page will come up. 7 hours on the abyss. Plus I've linked to the couple of hours that Steve Quayle and I've done in discussing Nephilim, the abyss, and so forth. It's already out there. It's already waiting. The star that we're referring to here has already fallen, already present, already ready. The opening of the abyss, again, is going to be globally, in a sense, cosmic. It is unprecedented. It is not something anybody has to speculate. So the authority is given, and the abyss is opened. The concept very clearly that these creatures, demonic, horrifically looking, now, in all the deliverances I've done, in all the exorcisms and all the dealings with demons, I've never seen them face to face. I've never seen an angel in a visible, physical way. I've known of their presence. I've known of the demonic in dealing with them. I've known of that. We've dealt with that. We've seen the authority of Christ crush, trample them, and them being cast out. And, of course, many demons were fearful of being sent to the abyss. They mock, cuss, scream, and are terrified about it, even to this present day. They know about it. They know who Christ is. Do you? They know about the final judgment, the great white throne. I hope that you're not there. And only by being saved, knowing the living Christ, being born of the Spirit of God, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you would never then face the great white throne judgment. You'd never face the second death. You'd be spared from the wrath of God and glorified, given an indestructible and immortal body that, can see God and fellowship. I pray that you know the living Christ already. Whatever your background, whether a New Ager, a seeker, whether you have you're a deep practitioner, the good news is that the gospel, this good news of God in Christ, is the power of God for everyone that believes. The Word of God tells us in Acts, the book of Acts, when Paul is preaching to the philosophers and those at the Areopagus, the intellectuals, he declares by the Spirit of God that God now, even to this day, now is summoning all people everywhere to change, to repent, to come. And by God's providence and by the Spirit of God, you now are summoned to come to the living Christ. God wants you. You can be saved right now. Christ can come into your life right now. And I have no doubt that if you are not saved, the Spirit of God has operated and worked and led you to this broadcast. To hear the name Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, the shedding of his blood, and that he's alive, my friend, that he dwells within me, and he's in the midst of this broadcast. And please, hear me. As a human being that knows God, that knows the living Christ, I tell you of a message from God beyond all the revelation of powers and events and end days. Christ, the highest revelation of God. If you haven't already, read the Gospel of John. Read the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. Know that right now that whosoever, whether you're in China or Russia or Norway, down in Johannesburg, if you're in Bangalore, if you are in Manila, it doesn't make any difference. If you're a human being hearing my voice right now, the Spirit of God would be speaking to you to come to Christ, put your faith in Christ, and receive him as Lord, Savior, and God. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you'll receive the gift of eternal life. You will know God right now. Listen, if you've done that, write to us, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. We have discipleship teaching, things that can help you. May God guide you and lead you. For all the believers out there, be praying for us. Be praying for these messages. There's hundreds of them worldwide, 80 countries of the world. And many are hearing the gospel in Russia, China, other places. They're listening to these, sometimes live, and many thousands and thousands of times from the archives they're downloaded. But I understand the providence of God. I understand the desire to get in to know, and I will reiterate one more time that the seven angels sounding the seven trumpets out of the heavens, based on the prayers of the saints that had already been martyred, and based on the prayers of the people of God, there is a response. And these are about God striking the in-place Luciferic globalism, political, military, worldwide, peoples, nations, and kings, and God demonstrating his sovereignty, his power, bringing them, well, to their knees because of what they've done. We're talking about the most demonized time in human history, where Satan is in human skin, the Antichrist, where the false prophet, who may be Nephilim-oriented, and it may be that there are these creatures on the earth as it was in the days of Noah. It may be that the beast of the earth helping to kill. Now listen, when the abyss is opened wide, it gives a picture. I mean, obviously in Old Testament, locusts and the swarms, it was one of the worst things that could happen. And so God uses that in figure of even demonized armies coming against Israel and coming in the last days. These creatures, because the idea they, like a swarm, people will be able to look up into the sky and see this massive swarm as it comes down upon the earth. They're limited by God, of course. They can't touch anyone who has the seal of God, who's been marked by God. People of God will be marked. They will not be touched by this unleashing and of these extra-dimensional beings coming into the visible physical world. For ufologists, it may be the disclosure that you don't want. They are going to bring nothing but destruction, but God limits. They can't touch the grass. It's already been touched anyway. They can't touch the plants or the trees. Only people who do not have the seal of God. If you are a believer in whatever day or year you may even get this, we are sealed by the Spirit of God. We are marked, and there's a sense of the ownership, marked by God. Now, please understand that there is a mark coming, the Greek word referring to a branding, of those who commit themselves to the Antichrist. I warn you before God today, soldiers especially, never allow yourself to be joined to a New World Order army. Never allow yourself to be drawn into the Psy War precursor, supernaturally human-enhancing projects that are meant to eventually slide soldiers into deeper and broader transmutation for the coming of Armageddon. These creatures, demonic hordes, are going to bring great torture. But guess who they hit? They will only be striking those without the seal of God, without being born again, without Christ in their life, without the Spirit of God. They're going to be striking those who commit themselves to a new age spirituality, a globalism in increasing Luciferic strength. It's going to be so bad they want death, but they're not going to get it. Now the locust, or they look like, this is the description, they are horrific looking. They have crowns, they got battle gear. There's an attempt by John to say what it is this demonic horde looks like. And they're ready for battle. There's massive noise that comes with it. They have power to bring torment. Their faces, listen now, these creatures, their faces resembled human faces. Some say the spirits of the Nephilim or Nephilim. All I can tell you is the worst of the worst of satanic, demonic, literal presence will come into the visible side. And only those who are globalists, Luciferians, those embracing alternative counterfeit spirituality that leads to service to the Antichrist, they're going to be struck. Now it's said in verse 12 that the first woe was past. This is so massive that God in his word and the angels that are declaring is three woes. The worst of the worst, the first four, were bad enough, but these are worst. The first woe was past, the other two are yet to come. Now we're into the second angel sounding his trumpet. Now there's a voice coming from the horns of the golden altar that is before God. It is said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, quote, it hasn't been done yet, but it's going to be spoken this way. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Just a quick note. Usually that place, the great river Euphrates, is where the enemies of Israel would mount up. Now, the interesting thing here is four angels who are, perfect tense in the Greek, bound. They have been and are up to this time. In other words, even as I speak, these angels are out there. They have been and will be bound until the very day that the sixth trumpet is sounded and the declaration to release them is done. They're there already. In the spiritual realm, they are there already. Verse 15. And the four angels who had been kept ready. Notice what it says, been kept ready. Notice the sovereignty of God for this very hour and day and month and year. Now listen, They are bound there. They're alive but bound. It's a pretty amazing thing. Absolutely an amazing thing. I don't know if you've looked at, even the old prophecy concerning the hordes that come out of the abyss issue, but the hordes that come on the earth. Because when these angels are released, they're going to have the power to bring about the death of one third of humanity. And then at that point in history, we're talking well over half of all humanity will be gone. Now, I want to read something to you. This comes out of Joel. It may have a reference to the kind of army, the 200 million troops that we're talking about. At least it identifies, look what it says, out of the prophet, the book of Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness. Like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in the ages to come. Before them fire devours, behind them a flame blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses. They gallop along like cavalry, with a noise like that of chariots. They leap over the mountains like a crackling fire consuming stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for battle. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. They rush upon the city. They run along the wall. They climb into the houses like thieves. They enter through the windows. Before them, the earth shakes. The sky trembles. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. Listen, when we look at this prophetic word from Joel, many connected with what occurs here, the sixth angel sounded his trumpet. With the release of the already present and bound four angels at the great river Euphrates, something is unleashed. They were kept there for that very moment in human history. The number, listen, it refers to now a connection. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number, John says. Now, I want to tell you something real quick about this. There are those that believe that this is China and all of the Asian troops. It would be an absolutely incredible military project to bring 200 million soldiers. Some refer to it being human soldiers and human weaponry because of the fire, the smoke, and the sulfur. Some would say that that's what it is. And you know what? If that's what it is, and realize, though, because of the four angels, the backdrop of the release and of the bringing of 200 million soldiers is the emphasis here. It is a supernatural release. It is a supernatural backing. It is a supernatural guidance, per se, in the providence of God. Now, when John gives the description, it's very similar to the demonic horde that comes out of the abyss. The idea of horses, that they looked like, they got breastplates, the colors, and the heads of the horses resembled heads of lions. Well, are these people in helmets or whatever else? Or, again, is this the attempt to describe Nephilim hordes. Those that are, because where did those creatures, that massive, massive, massive swarm of demonic entities, well, that looked like they had the faces of humans, hair like a woman, teeth that were like lion's teeth, breastplates, iron, sound of the wings, all of that is flowing out of the abyss. And they had a king over them, Abaddon, Apollyon, Destroyer. Now, the angel of the abyss, the angel of the abyss, doesn't say that it's a Nephilim. Nephilim were not angels in and of themselves. They were a crossbreed between B'nai Elohim and human people, women. The result, the Nephilim giants transmuted half-demon, half-human mutations. It is clearly believed among the Nazis their goal of a master race was to kind of resurrect through the Lebensborn Project, the birthing centers, the genetic goal of bringing back the Aryan, the God-men, half-God, half-man. Now, that project is continued. The goal is out there. Jack Parsons, rocket scientist, United States, attempted a ritual that would cause a sexual encounter between the whore of Babylon and a human woman, and thus create Nephilim, a real Nephilim. Real Nephilim would be actual fallen angels having direct sex with human women and creating these Nephilim. There are others that have looked at the long history of the backbreeding and development. Now, the reason I mention this is because there are some that are going to believe that the troops now in reference would be Nephilim oriented. If they are purely human, here in Revelation 9, this does not describe a human army. Just in the context of the fifth angel and the sixth angel, it is a description of demonic horde, demonic presence, but physically, visibly manifest with abilities and warfare and their abilities, well, to, in the fifth trumpet, bring torture to humanity, in the sixth trumpet, to kill a third of the human race. Now, however you look at this, the clarity is this. They will kill a third of the human race. When I read verse 19, the power of the horses, the creatures described, was in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails were like snakes having heads with which they inflict injury. Now, what we've had here in the first, second, third, fourth of the trumpet blasts is clearly judgments of God coming down out of heaven, slamming and striking the beast kingdom, Luciferic globalism. What we have here in the sixth angel sounding the sixth trumpet is going even further. Now this will take the death of humanity, depending when this occurs. This may be by the fourth year into the Great Tribulation. Three, it's right there somewhere in the center. But it would, by this time, bring about the total number, if it was to occur in the next number of years, is going to be up to 4 billion people are gone. Slaughtered, death. Do you understand the future? Do you understand now God's giving the picture of what is going to occur? It is not osmosis, Mother Gaia, Mother Earth. It's not like the film 2012 that's been put out. It's not just a kind of out of nowhere, somehow this all happens and whatever else. No, it's about the spiritual battle that has gone on since the fall of the human race. It is about the reason Christ was crucified and was crushed at the cross and buried, but yet rose from the dead blasting apart the finality of death and declaring he would return. It is about the satanic sequence, the evolutionary spiritual process to, number one, seduce the world, number two, draw it in after the great chaos to join a Luciferic-inspired globalism, politically, militarily controlled. In the future, when that occurs, God will respond, as he did with Pharaoh. Even the flood of Genesis 6 was in response to the horrific transmutation, evil, the genetic change in humanity to stop it, preserve humanity, save humanity for the sake of the coming of God in human flesh for the salvation of billions. For you. So as you look at this, it's not just simply a nice little study about trying to get down. Look at the message. This was written up to 2,000 years ago. These are living words of God. This is meant to be proclaimed. It is meant to have out there. Why do we let the rest of the world, I'm talking to believers in Christ, why do we let the rest of the world, the History Channel and everybody else, talk about Nostradamus and Edgar Cayce? And now the remote viewers, with inaccurate predictions based on finite sources, whether ascended masters or the Akashic records or whatever, it flows from the wrong side, does not give the accurate pictures. The reason for the great chaos coming, the reason for the horrific Luciferic globalism, it is all about the coming of Armageddon, which is all about the only reason for a global super military, super soldier power. The goal Satan has, my friend, is to aim those weapons into the sky and blast out of the sky the descent of the living Christ. That's the ultimate. What's happening here is God demonstrating his judgment. I believe because of verse 20, we're gonna see that there is a goal to lead to repentance. But here's what occurs. Deep into the future, whether that's 5 years away, 10 years away, this event, could be 5, could be 10 years away. God then gives exactly again what occurs. How do the Luciferic, globalist, the nations, the peoples committed to being their own gods, to being their own, you know, to own the earth, to have it all? Here's what God says concerning the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues, still did not repent of the work of their hands. This is utterly amazing. With the demonstration of the trumpet blast revelations of specific targeted judgments, and now with this incredible unleashing, and maybe 3 to 4 billion have died. Maybe there's a billion. Maybe there's a billion and a half people committed to the Luciferic side. I don't know how many. They're still going to fight. Like Satan himself and the demons of hell who have never even conceived of repenting. They won't. They can't. They can't. And they won't. There's no sorrow. And I would say this, the deeper of demonization in the hearts and lives of human beings, the less able they are to repent. The less willing they would be. I have engaged individuals with demon possession who ultimately, a few, not many, spit on the ground, spit at the blood of Christ, spit at the spirit of grace, and did not want to repent nor lose their powers. They wanted to keep the demon powers, their abilities, their psi abilities, and all the rest. They would not give it up. to be able to embrace Christ and the power of God in grace to forgive, cleanse, renew, and give them the gift of eternal life and the powers of God. It's amazing to me as I read, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They could have been. Maybe you're listening right now and you're not saved. If we get to this day in human history, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years from now, and you're there, the prediction would be that you will not repent. That the deeper we get into the Great Tribulation on the demonic side, on the side of those who don't know Christ, the layering, the demonization, the darkening, the grip, well, it's clear they won't repent. What about right now? What about you as a Luciferian, or you as a Satanist, or you as a chosen one, satanically? Right now, by the Spirit of God, by the authority of the living Christ, may He crush all demonic presence, demons in you, lies of Satan. May He do it right now. I pray that the Lord would do that and deliver you, and that you would open your heart by the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God, that you would then give your heart now, right now, my friend. Maybe somebody has given this to you, made a CD, given it to you. Maybe you're into drugs. Maybe you're into the New Age. Maybe you're a psychic reader. Maybe you have all these powers, but where did they come from? If they did not come from God, they came from the dark side, even though they may be masqueraded as light. If you don't know God, don't know the power of the living Christ and the love of God and the gift of eternal life, then you don't know God. You don't have it. And you are in a state of, like the precursors to being layered deeper and deeper and deeper in the satanic molasses of seduction, deception, and powers. There will be a day in which real, committed, Luciferic-oriented globalists, both peoples, nations, and leaders, they're not going to repent. Here's what it says. They did not stop worshiping demons, idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see, hear, or walk. They did not repent of their murders. See the word magic arts? Pharmakia. Their embracing of the drugs that open the spirit molecule issue of demons coming in. The use of drugs to acquire ayahuasca. The Mayans, listen, you open the door to the spirits through particular drugs, they will come. They will attach. You can eventually be possessed. And that will be a part of the clear gripping and sealing of those in the future. I hope you're not on your way. I hope you're not absent of the presence of the living Christ in you, and that you're dabbling with the New Age spirits, or even the drugs, or even the experiences, or even a remote viewer that allows your mind to have flow into it data that comes from the Akashic Records, the realm of the spirits. Listen, they won't repent in the future. Other murderers, this is what they are, murderers. Other magic arts, this is what they're doing, they're practicing. Sorcery and drugs and spirits and attachments, and they're all committed to it. And their sexual immorality, unbridled, or their thefts. Is that where you want to find yourself in the future? So bound, so caught, so absolutely immersed. That's why I say this day is a prophetic day for you. This day is where the Word of God declares, now is the day, now is the time, today. If you hear the voice of God speaking into your heart, get out of it. I've known some, they want to keep their psi powers, their abilities to read the dead and predict, and they want to keep all their stuff. Renounce the bloodlines, renounce the demons, turn to the living Christ, open your heart to God's love, God's presence, God's power. May the blood of Jesus and the authority of Christ strike you with grace and mercy and pluck you out of darkness now before it is clearly too late. The words of Jesus, what would it profit a man or a woman if they gain the whole world yet lose their own soul? That's not the end of the sixth trumpet. When you get to this portion and you have the abyss and then you have the 200 million, whether you look at it as real military, I would say, though, backed with the most spiritual, demonic-oriented leading, I would rather say that this, in context, is a reference to demonic hordes. Maybe again out of Joel, the prophecy of the kind of soldier, kind of demonic creatures coming in vast attack, bringing terror. I mean, this is absolutely, well, they're going to have the power to kill one-third of the earth. When we go to Revelation 10, it continues under the sixth angel, sixth trumpet. The revelation now brings forth this. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloud with a rainbow around his head. His face was like the sun. His legs were like fiery pillars. He was holding a little scroll. Once again, revelation, massive revelation, which lay open in his hand. He planted it. His foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and he gave a loud shout. Now this is all about, listen, when he shouted, the voices of the seven thunders spoke. This is all flowing out of the centrality of heaven. And when the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven say, seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down. Now listen, as you go on to this, you have this picture that we are in a time where we're moving through the tribulation days. There's going to be no more delay concerning the wrath of God and the coming of the kingdom, the basileia of God, the rule and the reign of God as Christ himself is going to return, Revelation 19. And so we read concerning the revelation out of this sixth trumpet involves chapter 10, looking down to verse 6. There will be no more delay. There will be no more delay. Matter of fact, the sixth trumpet and the revelation given gives an announcement about what? About the seventh angel who's about to sound his trumpet. And then the mystery of God will be accomplished. That which God holds, infinite God holds, revelation of exact detail to the day, to the hour, even to the point where God can say exactly what men and women will say, feel, do, how they will respond. Your choice is right now. As a believer in Christ, to become so strong, so powerful in prayer, so powerful as a witness of God, of Christ. You see, the seventh angel is about to sound. Guess what? Look what it says. We're not going to get into it until tomorrow, Friday night. It's about what God's about to accomplish, to be given to his servants, the prophets, and what's going to happen. Then he's going to take the scroll and he's to take and eat it. And the picture here, the revelation, is so awesome, but yet so bringing a sickness. Turned his stomach sour. Then he was told these words. Listen to the end of chapter 10. In reference to the closing out of the sixth trumpet, and preparation for the seventh. God says to John in reference to the revelation, then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. John received this as living words, living revelation through direct word, through the Spirit's guidance, through the Lord Jesus giving the revelation, through the vision, all of it about communicating that involves prophecy. Remember, the book of Revelation is the Apocalypse Jesu Christi, chapter 1. It is a prophecy. You and I, as believers today, are to take the words of God that we would come to know and speak them. And so I say to those in Germany and those in Russia and those in China, all across America, all of where you're going to be, digging in, you are to take the word of God you know, and God wants you to know all that you can know and use it as a prophetic element. There is infallible, accurate, irrevocable clarity in what God has said is going to happen, that it blows out of the waters, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, remote viewers, psychics, 2012ers, all of the stuff that has been predicted or looked into or calculated, even if you combine it all together. I don't know about you, but when you come to the end of the sixth trumpet, it is massively, massively an amazing thing. This is why I think that when, after the fourth trumpet, there is the three woes, dealing with not only announcement, but the concept of dread of what is about to occur. Getting into the sixth trumpet, it goes on into Revelation chapter 11. It's involved now in chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, and I'm only giving the overview, not the specific details. Now we have Revelation in the context of the sixth trumpet of the temple of God, of the two witnesses. Now, later I will do specific, maybe 1, 2, or 3 hours, a series on the witnesses. If the Antichrist is actually out there born, but not yet unveiled to the world, that means the false prophet is alive, because he'll have to be in order for him to come to public, activity. This would be true about the two witnesses. Let me say clearly now, nowhere in Scripture does it say that this is Elijah and Moses. Though what they do is similar, there's nothing, not even one shred of Scripture that says it is Elijah, it is Moses. Question would be, are we going to refer to the dead returning this way? All the Word of God says it is two witnesses. Some think that it might be the second half of the tribulation. I think that it might be that they are unleashed in the beginning and go up to the middle part or right past the middle part. They have a time of prophecies, simply 1,260 days. That's about half. And something's going to happen. During the time of these two witnesses, lampstand refers to the church, the concept of the olive tree is Israel. At the very least, I believe it's representation of the church and of Israel in the sense of those who are in fellowship with Jesus Christ, Lord God and Messiah. Now, in the context of what Satan is doing, we've talked about the ramping up as never before in human history. But it includes the unleashing, unveiling of revelation, activity, judgments, work of God as never before. It's not as though the days we're living in, up to the beginning of the tribulation, into the depths of the tribulation, into the great tribulation, that God is absent. Matter of fact, God is going to be more demonstrative in his works, his powers, his dealings with the Luciferic globalism, the Antichrist beast kingdom. We're going to see massive, massive, massive work of God, which includes the two witnesses. And their ability, listen, in chapter 10, under the sixth trumpet in this revelation, they're going to be out there. And I would say this, that if they're human, completely human, being born, raised for this coming day, which nothing tells us that they come out of heaven, nothing tells us that they are reappearances of anyone else. It just simply says that there are two witnesses. Lampstand, the church, olive tree, Israel. Now, I believe that there are individuals, they may represent the whole of what's left of believers worldwide. But here's what it says about them. Verse 5, chapter 10, if anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to harm them must die. Again, whether that fire, that ability to speak and see them die, the idea of, this incredible... Listen, all the preachers out there, by the way, we should be preaching by the fire of the Holy Spirit. We should all be on fire with God the Holy Spirit. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're commanded not to put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. The normal believer is clothed and filled and on fire, ablaze for God. I pray that every believer listening would be clothed and on fire with the Holy Spirit for God, speaking and witnessing and praying and doing all that you can do to the end of days. Jesus said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. That is going to be true to the very day we are totally out of here and he returns. Now, this says, this is how anyone who wants to harm these witnesses must die. Notice what it describes. Very little about the witnesses who are here for 3.5 years. They have power to shut up the sky so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. They have power to turn the waters into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. So it's typical of Ezekiel and of Moses. So it's the types of things they have done, but it nowhere ever says it is Moses, it is Elijah. Now again, in the work of God, and some even say that if the witnesses begin somewhere in the beginning of the tribulation, and their deaths are in the, middle or right after the middle, because the only thing that can stop them will be the beast. By the way, I believe this is the first time a reference, a beast. I think it's 37 times more the concept will be used. Although this was used in the pale horse, the beasts of the earth, in reference to the killing of people. Now they have finished their testimony. Now when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them. Their bodies will lie on the street of the great city. Now listen, the whole issue here is spiritual warfare manifested in the most physical possible way. That it will take literally the beast that comes up out of the abyss, whether we're dealing with Satan direct or the Antichrist, if some would say even this is a reference to the Antichrist, but it is literally the sheer power of satanic force that brings death, but only when they finished their testimony. And even though, verse 10, the inhabitants, the earth dwellers, those who committed themselves to Luciferic globalism, the inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them. Can you imagine? Here's where evil revels. Even as they are there to witness, to prophesy, massive communication will flow in the form of being witnesses of God, of Christ, prophesying to the world for 3.5 years, when the building and manifestation of the apex, the pinnacle of the satanic regime is coming to power. God has a witness. God has an unleashing. In the future, there will be believers during that time. And may God guide them as witnesses and soul winners in the very end of the end of days. Now, what's going to happen, though, again, God answers what the dark side, what the Luciferic globalists, those committed to the Antichrist, those who are empowered, and the dragon's power and the demonic empowerments are all there. They're going to celebrate, give each other gifts, because these two prophets who had tormented them, you know, because of them. They're going to give gifts because of their death. But now there's going to be, again, an answer from God in which the breath of God enters these two witnesses. They stand on their feet. And God already says in the future, because this day has not yet occurred, but it's coming, terror struck those who saw this. A loud voice from heaven, they've already had glimpses, but now a loud voice, come up here. And they went up to heaven in a cloud. While their, look what it says, their enemies looked on. A severe earthquake comes. Judgment strikes. And chapter 10, verse 14 says these words, the second woe is past. The third is coming soon. Notice again, each angel with a trumpet, when they are called on to unleash the blast that brings the revelation of actual future human history, they're sequential, step by step, event by event. Before we get to the seventh trumpet, well over half of humanity is gone. Massive judgments have fallen on the Luciferic globalist agenda. And the battle is bloody. The battle is in full blaze. Satan's presence in the unprecedented level brings unprecedented destruction. We have said this again and again. On Friday night, July the 2nd, we are plotting and planning on bringing the revelation of the seventh angel. We hope you'll tune in, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live. Shatterthedarkness.net, the website, has hundreds and hundreds of downloads connected to all the materials. As I said, just in June alone, while we've been doing this series, almost 100,000 downloads from the Shatter the Darkness site, preemptionbroadcast.com, theblackawakening.com, all of our stuff. Want to invite you to be a prayer warrior, and we need your prayers. As we do the broadcasts that go to hundreds of thousands and even 1,600,000 of these one-hour broadcasts, MP3s, will be downloaded in up to 80 countries of the world. And we're asking for believers in Christ who feel God's hand in this work. Put us in your prayer list. Intercede for us. We work with individuals on a weekly basis. We try to answer as many of the hundreds of emails. The prayers have gone up before, during, and even after these broadcasts are given. Salvations have occurred. Deliverances have occurred. Thousands and thousands of believers have been blessed. We do not have products or commercials or businesses that fund our broadcasts or all of this work. If you would like to be a part, and we do need you, to help fund what I do, what Shatter the Darkness, the Preemption Broadcast, take a look at all of it. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, right under where it says the archives, you'll see a little note that says simply how you can help, you know, fund this work. If you'd like to do that and be a part, we would appreciate that deeply. And we would look forward to your help. This is Russ Dizdar. God bless you, and thank you.